welcome everyone here this morning. I encourage you to be back tonight because the lesson is a two-part lesson, so we'll have hopefully half of this morning and the other half tonight. So I encourage you to be here at both times because you'll miss half of it if you are not here tonight. Today our lesson will be entitled, What Kind of Faith Do You Have? What kind of faith do you have? There's a lot said about faith, and we'll read these passages of Scripture as we begin, but in John chapter 12, beginning at verse 37, the text is there, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that is the Pharisees, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, He hath blinded our eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, that they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. A weak faith there. Then in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul said, By grace are ye saved through faith, that is, through believing what the grace of God has revealed. And he said, And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, lest anyone should boast. And then in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, we see that faith comes by hearing, that is, personal faith, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, says, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and hope in the glory of God. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, he said, But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Notice that. He rewards those that diligently seek him. And he said, By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So if we look at that expression, by faith, in Hebrews 11, it's used them 16 times. So the faith of old is spoken of the elders of old, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, Joseph, Moses, the Israelites in general who were in bondage, Rahab, and others. In verse 39, it says, Of whom the world is not worthy. He mentions Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. As we think about this expression, we see where faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Paul said, but the Hebrew writer said that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That diligently seek him. So when we read Hebrews 11, we see those who had a personal faith that was diligent, that sought what God would want them to do. So we see these as an example of us, or to us, that we are to often look at. Then over in chapter 12 of Hebrews, he said, Wherefore seeing we also compass about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Who's that? Those are the ones mentioned in Hebrews 11. He said, Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with race the patience that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. So we see where this great cloud of witnesses, Hebrews 11, to be our example. And so, we see that we are to do those things. So Abel is mentioned in verse 4. It says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by the which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And he being dead yet speaketh. He's an example to us as all others in Hebrews 11 are. Because they are those who, like Abraham said of in verse 10, look for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So they had faith in God's word. Insurmountable faith. So as we think about faith and deep faith, there's a difference, isn't there? Faith and deep faith. Faith, you know, we talk about personal faith in Hebrews chapter 11. This must please God. As the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. So this faith, our personal faith, comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Then we read over in Acts chapter 13 about the faith. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13. So we need to keep these straight in our mind about the faith or the gospel. So when we hear God's word, the gospel, faith comes by hearing. Our personal faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, the gospel message. But over in Acts chapter 13, we see where we have this account of Paul when he encountered Elymas the sorcerer. So we began at verse 6, and it says that when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Notice that. Underline that if you have a... Okay, he desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith, the word of God. And then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him, and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? So two expressions there in that one verse that refer to God's word, the gospel. All righteousness, the right ways of the Lord. He says, and now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about to seeking sun to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, he believed, and being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. So we have here, deep faith, the system of faith, the gospel, the word of God, verse 7, all righteousness, verse 10, the right ways of the Lord, verse 10, and the doctrine of the Lord, verse 12. So you have faith and deep faith. Faith is what we have personally by believing the gospel. And then deep faith, the system of faith. So it's important to keep these distinguished. So deep faith, when we hear God's word, affects our personal faith, doesn't it? So turn with me to Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, verse 7, we see where there were those who obeyed the word. It says, the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied. What did we say a disciple was? A follower of the master teacher. An adherent of the master teacher, Jesus. And the word of the Lord increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith, the gospel, the faith. Then as we read in Acts chapter 13, verse 8, how Elymas, the sorcerer, withstood him, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith, the gospel, the faith, that system of faith. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 23, We see where Paul says, but they had heard only that which he persecuted, thus in times past now preached the faith which he once destroyed. Paul's speaking of his past history as a destroyer of the faith, or that destruction he brought upon those disciples who were of Christ. Then in Galatians chapter 1 or 2 verse 6, the text says there, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we believe in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And then in chapter, or that same chapter, verse 20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Paul did, he said this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul, after his conversion, was inherent to the faith, wasn't he? He is a proponent, he was a preacher of the faith, the gospel. He had faith, great faith. He had personal faith and the faith, didn't he? And that's what we need to have, see? Then in Galatians chapter 3, verse 23, Paul says, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, the gospel, which should afterwards be revealed. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 5, Paul said, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye have heard in the word of the truth of the gospel, or the faith, that body or body of truth that's revealed by Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, Paul said, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Then in verse 12, he said, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul warns, as now the Spirit speaks expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. These some would not hear the faith. They would have a weak faith. They would have an apostate faith, if you will, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So we see where the faith, that expression is used throughout the Old Testament, many places. I just picked out a few for us to consider. But it affects our personal faith, doesn't it? Remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith. So then faith cometh, or what is believed, your personal faith comes by believing or hearing the word of God, doesn't it? And then in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that is written, the just shall live by faith. So when we heed God's word, our faith comes by hearing and hearing God's word, doesn't it? Deep faith and faith, personal faith. It's important to keep those distinguished. So, as we think about it, now faith comes by hearing. Faith comes from hearing the gospel, from the faith. Paul talked about that. Notice this verse, again, Paul said in Romans chapter 1, he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for if the gospel, is the power of God and the salvation for everyone who believes what? If the gospel, the power of God, the salvation. He says, for the Jew also and the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So, the gospel, the faith, produces our faith, our personal faith. It's important to understand the difference between our faith and the faith. Because our faith must be based on the faith in order for it to be going in the right direction. But there are different types of faith. We want to talk about those. We'll look at a few this morning, and then we'll look at some tonight. There are kinds of faith, so my question is, what kind do we have? What kind do we have? First of all, or those who have no faith, go back to our text. In John chapter 12, beginning at verse 37, it says, "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. So the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because as Isaiah said, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." As we think about this, this rejection ignores the evidence. In John chapter 12, verse 37 again, he said, "But though he had done many miracles," there's the evidence, "before them, yet they believed not in him." So many reject God when the evidence is staring them in the face. We're going to get to Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 16, Paul talked about this. Beginning at verse 16, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which they which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened." See, they ignored the evidence. I mean, today ignore the evidence. And Paul says that we're without excuse when we do that. We have evidence of God's power just in the creation around us. It's beyond me how people can deny that there's a power that made all this. It didn't just happen. I mean, if I said, you know, this computer just, there was an explosion in electronics manufacturing company, and out came this computer, you'd think I'm crazy. And I made this mention before, you know, this paper clip, it shows the work of a designer and one who had power over that material to make it, didn't it? Just that simple paper clip. See, they reject the evidence. They ignore it. This is a result of hardened hearts. Notice again, chapter 12, John 12, verse 39. It says, "There, therefore, they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, they have blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." I'm confident people could understand the gospel, but they deny it. Their hearts are hardened. They will not yield to the gospel. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 21, he said, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professed themselves to be wise, they became fools, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things that are not convenient or fitting." That word reprobate means a mind void of judgment, or an unapproving mind. It doesn't fit their agenda. It doesn't fit their agenda. Therefore, they reject it. So we have those who have no faith. Next, there are those who have little faith. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 30, Jesus, when he spoke the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, so or shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" So this is a mind that doubts God's planning and power to bless. And it doubts God's protection. Over in Matthew chapter 14, when Jesus was with his disciples in, on the sea, and the storm came up, when they were afraid, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, and stretched forth his hand to Peter and caught him, when Peter tried to walk to him on the water, rather, and he stretched forth his hand and he began to sink, and he said, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Peter started out walking on the water. When he saw the boisterous winds, his confidence began to sink. And Jesus said, "O thou of little faith, why did you doubt?" So those that have little faith are ones who are always doubting. You ever known somebody who just doubts everything? Just a doubtful person. Like Doubting Thomas over in, I like to call him, in John chapter 12, or 20. We see where Thomas doubted. Turn with me to verse 26 of John 20. It says, "After 6 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace be unto you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach hither thy finger, and behold thy hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it in my side, and be not faithless, but believing.' Thomas answered and said unto him, 'My Lord and my God.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed.' Because he said, 'Blessed they that have not seen me and yet have believed.'" A lot of people have the idea that I don't believe it until I see it. Ever heard people say that? Have you ever asked them, do they believe in Abraham Lincoln? They haven't seen him. Do you believe the testimony that was of historians regarding Abraham Lincoln? Just ask them a question like that. They may have a doubting mind. It's a mind also expressed by fear. When Jesus was with his disciples on the seeing the storm came up, he said to them, "Why are you fearful?" They were afraid. He says, "Oh, ye of little faith." Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Over in Matthew chapter 16, we see where this shows a lack of spiritual depth, when Jesus' disciples didn't understand what he said initially about the leaven of the Pharisees. Beginning at verse 5, it says there, "When his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And then Jesus said to them, 'Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees.' And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'It is because we have taken no bread.' Which when Jesus perceived, he said to them, 'O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Don't you remember that? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up?" And when Jesus fed the 5,000 and the 4,000, he always ended up with more than what he started with. You ever notice that? What was left over after he fed everybody was more than what he began with. He said, "How is it that ye do not understand that I spake not unto you concerning bread, that ye should be aware, that ye should be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Then understood they how he bade them not to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the scribes and the Pharisees." The doctrine, see, they lacked spiritual depth and understanding. So those have little faith. And then there are those who have weak faith. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, he says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble minded, and support the weak. Be patient toward all men." Be patient toward all men. So those that are without strength, hope, and endurance, and without full conviction, are those who are weak in the faith. Paul said in Romans chapter 4, beginning at verse 17, he said, "As I have written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, which who quickeneth the dead and calleth these things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope," speaking of Abraham, "that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, 'So shall thy seed be.' And being not weak in faith," see, Abraham wasn't weak in faith, "he considered not his own body dead when he was about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that which he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. So God promised Abraham that he'd be a father of many nations. And Isaac was born because of God's promise in the old age of Sarah and Abraham. And they didn't stagger at that, did they? They believed it. Now in Romans chapter 14, Paul gives instructions concerning those who are weak in their understanding of the Scriptures. He talks about those that thought it would be wrong to eat of meats. And if they think it's wrong, then it's wrong for them to eat until they have a good understanding. But he said, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not the doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Weak in understanding. He has faith, but he's weak. He doesn't understand. He doesn't have good understanding. He said, let him not that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. So throughout this context of Romans 14, he's talking about things that are indifferent to God, but when we force our opinions on one another, we cause one to violate their conscience. That's wrong. We accept those who are weak and encourage those who are weak and educate those who are weak. As Paul taught, the Ephesians over in Ephesians chapter 4. He taught them and told them why he had given apostles, prophets, and evangelists, and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. He said, until we all come to the end of the faith, we're to grow up in him, he told the Ephesians. So we must grow up in him. We must always strive to do what is right. We must always strive to help those who are weak. So we need to pay attention to the weak Christian and hold on to them. In Romans chapter 15, verse 1-7, Paul said, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification. So to please them and help them understand. He said, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as is written, reproach of them that reproach thee fell on me. Whatsoever things were written aforetime are written for our learning, that we through patience and come to the Scriptures might have hope. And he said, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may be one mind and one mouth, by one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whereof we receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. We're to encourage one another. We're to support the weak. To help them gain strength. To be edified. Then, there are those who have hidden faith. Hidden faith. In John chapter 12, verse 42, you see there are those that believe, but they wouldn't confess Christ. It says, nevertheless, among beginning at verse 42, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, because the Pharisees did not confess him. Lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They didn't want to say that they believed Jesus, lest they got thrown out of the synagogue. So they believed him. They weren't going to talk about it and keep it quiet. That's not a faith that the Lord desires, is it? So they would not confess Christ, but Jesus said we have to, don't we? In Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, he says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. So that, by reading that verse, do you get the idea that the Lord accepts those who won't confess him? He doesn't, does he? Remember the eunuch. He said, "See, here is water. What depend on me to be baptized?" Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he said, "I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he stopped the chariot and went down and baptized him. So he did that after he confessed him, didn't he? He said, "What does hinder me to be baptized?" He told him, "What's hindering you? That you have to confess Christ." See, wrong values, wrong priorities rule many of this mindset, such as the doctrines and commandments of men. Jesus said, "Ye hypocrites," in Matthew 15, verse 79, He said, "Ye hypocrites, well Isaiah prophesied of you, saying, this people draw nigh to me with their mouth, and honor to their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Then in verse 13, He said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." So when our confidence is based on wrong values, wrong priorities, that is, the doctrines and commandments of men and the teaching of men, then all of that will be rooted up and will be rooted up if we believe that. Our faith has to be in Christ and the gospel, doesn't it? See, these are those who, they do not hear and obey God's word. They may hear it audibly, but it doesn't sink in. Jesus said, "I am come a light into the world," in John chapter 12, beginning at verse 46. He said that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. "If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, that's the one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Jesus came to save, didn't he? The judgment had already been made. He came to save those that were lost. See, all the world was lost. The judgment is already made, wasn't it? See, we'll be judged in the last day based on what we do. So our faith can't be hid. It can't be a hidden faith. And there are those who have only faith. And James talked about this in James chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. Turn with me to that. James chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. We'll see where James talked about this idea that many have, that you can have faith only and everything will be okay. But James said, beginning at verse 14, he said, "What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what are the profits? Even so faith, as it hath not works, is dead, being alone." He says, "Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith by my works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified when he had offered Isaac up, his son, up upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and was imputed unto him for righteous, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. See, when we have faith without works, that lack that's talked about not obeying God. And many people say, I love Jesus, but they won't obey Him. They deny baptism. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," but they deny them. So their works is useless. It's of no profit. James 2, verse 14. "What doth it profit, my brethren?" He said, "Though a man say, I have faith and have not works, and faith save him." It's dead. It's a dead faith. In verse 17, he said, "Even so faith that hath not works is dead, being alone." In verse 20, he said, "But thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. And then in verse 26, he said, "For the body without the spirit, is dead, so faith without works is dead." Repeat that three times. Faith without obedience is dead, being alone. It's useless. It's worthless. It's by itself. It's unseen. Verse 18. He said, "Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my words." What is the evidence that you believe? What's the evidence? See, they don't have any evidence. They just say, "I believe. I'm a believer." Ask people what that means, and they can't tell you. Many people make the claim, "I'm a believer." What does that mean? You're a believer. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." When we do what God commands that we do, our faith is a working, active faith. Then it is that we glorify God. People can see the results. See, those that have only faith are like the demons. James said in James chapter 2, verse 19, "Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." The devils also believe and tremble. See, it's barren and unfruitful. Verse 20 says, "But thou know, O man, that faith without works is dead." It has no product. There's no fruit. Mourn by this dead faith. It's like a dead limb on a tree. And all the other limbs on the tree are vibrant, producing fruit, and this one dead limb is nothing. It's not producing anything. It's just taking up space. And this type of faith is not and cannot justify. James said in James chapter 2, beginning at verse 21, he said, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and was imputed unto him for righteousness. He was called the friend of God. He said, and how that by works the man is justified, and not by faith only." Not by faith only. We see a number of faiths. We're out of time, so tonight we're going to begin where we picked up, and so this morning we've looked at several faiths. We looked at those who have no faith. We looked at those who have little faith, those who have a weak faith, those who have a hidden faith, and those who have only faith. So we'll pick up and look at this, at several more tonight, and we'll close this lesson out tonight, hopefully. So at this time, we encourage anyone who is not obeyed the gospel to do so. And as we think about what was said in Acts 2, they said when Peter proclaimed them that they had crucified what God had made both the Lord and Christ Jesus, you see, where the alien sinner must hear the gospel, must believe it, he must repent of his sins, confess Christ, and be baptized into Christ. And we as erring children of God, when we err, we must repent and pray if perhaps our hearts might be forgiven. And then we have to have a faith that is a type of faith that we'll talk about tonight, that is not a fearful faith, but a faith that will withstand and be willing to be tried in order to be faithful unto death. So if there's anyone here this morning, we encourage you to come and make your wishes on, if you desire to do so, as we stand and sing the psalm that's been selected. Shall we stand while we sing?